You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday. You know what that means. That means that we are doing it. We are back in the preview of a Michigan football game. We were off last week, but we are back this week. As you can see to my left here on the screen, if you're watching, if you're not and you're listening, just imagine he's there on my left. Mackey Ward-winning tight end Jake Butt here to help preview the Northwestern game. Jake, welcome to the show as always, man.
Hey, it's good to be back. You know, we ourselves had a bye week last week. Nothing to break down. No Michigan game. But, you know, it's fall. It's fall weather. For those that are watching, I got the flannel on. I'm growing out the beard. You know, and if you are watching, you see the new podcast studio down here. Isaiah really has helped me grow in this area. So, of course, we got it Michigan decked out. And we're looking pretty official right now. But that being said, excited to preview this game, Michigan versus Northwestern. You hope for a clean week, but, you know, Pat Fitzgerald, hell of a coach, one of the best coaches in college football. So it could present some challenges.
And that's the thing, especially when you consider the fact that Pat Fitzgerald was out there this week. He's talking about how, let me ask you this. Do you think this was a slight towards Michigan State? Cause he was asked, like, you know, what do you think of this game? He said, Michigan's looking at them on film. It's going to be the toughest game that we've had all season. And it isn't even close. I mean, they opened the season against Michigan State. They lost 38-17. Is that a slight at Michigan State, do you think?
Maybe so, but I think as a head coach, you have to say that. Like, he can't come in there. Maybe he could have said it's one of the toughest games, but, you know, you always want to play to your opponent's ego a little bit. You kind of want to pump their head up and look. Maybe that creates a little bit of weakness. Now, Pat Fitzgerald, and we were talking about it in the pregame show, I think he's one of the best college football coaches. Maybe one of the best coaches across all sports because of what he's able to do with the challenges at Northwestern. Now, Michigan has challenges in recruiting with what types of guys we're able to bring in just because of our academic standard. But Northwestern probably has it even harder than we do, and they don't have the brand power to go with it. So what Coach Fitzgerald's able to do on a year in, year out basis is really, really remarkable. And they're going to have some of these down years where they, you know, they're 3-3 right now. They're not as good. They're not competing for a Big Ten championship like they've done in years past, but they're still dangerous just because of the way he leads the program and the discipline and the passion that these guys play for. But ultimately, I think this is Michigan's will be able to overpower them. And I expect the win, but let's talk about some of the details.
Yeah, let's get into it. Obviously, when I look at this team, it's this Northwestern team, especially, they were at the bottom of my power rankings pretty much all year. And now they're showing more and more of a pulse. They're 3-3. I mean, they were certainly going to get one win against Indiana State. I mean, that's an auto win. At least if you don't win that game, then just shut the program down. Yeah. If you're a Power Five school. But you're seeing a little bit of a pulse on kind of both sides of the ball, more so I think offensively than defensively. So let's start there. Jake, what are you like when you look at some of these things that Northwestern presents, what kind of, you know, maybe worries you a little bit? I mean, obviously you got the run game with Evan Hull. You've got Ryan Holinsky has kind of started to come on the last couple of weeks. You got a trio of wide receivers that seem to be doing a pretty good job. I mean, they all have a lot more yards than what Michigan has. What to you is the biggest points, elements of danger for this Michigan team?
Well, you know, I think really the elements of danger don't come from Northwestern. I think we have much more talent than them. I think our pass rushers should be able to get in the backfield and create havoc. I think our you know, front seven should dominate the run game. We should limit their ability to run the ball, which makes offense a lot harder. But I think the biggest challenge we have is we're coming off a bye week, and you know who we have next week. You know, we're allowed to talk about it, but the players really shouldn't be looking ahead again. And I would had a chance to talk to some of the guys this week, actually, and they have a mindset of, we're not worried about being the Big Ten championship. We're not winning the Big Ten championship today. We're just going to have the best practice we can have today. And you saw Coach Harbaugh talk about their practices earlier in the week, how focused they were. He said it was the best practice he'd ever been a part of coming off a bye week. And I think that's critical because, again, we've talked about it time and time again. I don't want to bore anybody with it, but the mindset does matter. The leadership does matter. The way you show up and, you know, work your process on a day-to-day matters, because If you have a good process, the results will eventually follow. So I think as long as Michigan doesn't overlook Northwestern and isn't looking ahead to Michigan State and wants to go out there and continue to put a statement, we got the bye week. Now we're moving into the second half of the season, coming down the home stretch. We have to go out there and put on a dominant performance on both sides of the ball. So ultimately, I think we have more talent. We're going to present more challenges for Northwestern than they will for us. And if we just go do what we've been doing and play to our identity, I think it should be a dominant win. And I think the defense should dominate, you know, all four quarters of this game.
Well, I kind of in that there's a couple of things that you've said that really are piquing my interest. So as a guy who's played, you know, and you know, you've certainly had moments coming off of bye weeks. You've had moments of, I'm sure I haven't looked back at your previous schedules, and some of 15 and 16 are a blur a little bit, but how hard is it to, or is it better or worse to come off of a bye week? And then we'll touch on the second idea that I kind of had after that.
There's a balance of it, because a bye week, football is a physical sport. It's a bruising sport. As you get later and later into the season, you kind of lose some of that muscle mass you put into the offseason. You're not able to work out as much. But you have that advantage of now you're in the flow of season. You're in that mid-season form. So you got to take the bye week and get a chance, you know, take the opportunity to get healthy. We have some guys that are getting healthier and have a chance to come back this week. And then for most guys, you have some bruises and bumps that you can, you know, kind of shake off and get back to that game one, game two health. So that's the big thing is can you get healthy, but not get too far removed that you lose that midseason form, that you're going to come out, you know, tomorrow on Saturday with a little bit lackadaisical. And everything that's been talked about this week in practice and everything I've seen so far in this season is these guys are ready. They know the ultimate goal at hand. No one's relaxing. No one's patting themselves on the back or congratulating themselves for being where they are at this point in the season. There's bigger goals ahead, and that starts with beating Northwestern tomorrow. And that seems to be the mindset across the entire program.
All right, I have another question based off of that, but we are going to hold it for just a moment. You have to pay the bills, as you know, happens. And see, Jake, this is what happens when I didn't look to see what's going on as far as the types of things that I've got to read here. Got a new ad. I didn't even know until right now. So take this adventure with me. And let's see how much hopefully I don't flub it. But so this episode of Locked On Wolverines is actually brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect. A place that classmates can meet up for a study group, knowing that they have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place that you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. So anyway, So head to your local McDonald's, refuel, reconnect. Now, did somebody say Locked On Wolverines watch party at McDonald's? I mean, maybe. I'm not even sure I know where McDonald's is in Ann Arbor. There has to be. Okay, I know. I've known of one. So anyway. All right, well, I'm loving it. This episode of Locked On Wolverines, like I said, brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it. So yeah, that's how you do one of those, Jake. I mean, I think we got one more. No, we don't have one more. So we'll be back momentarily. All right, that was a flustered live read because I didn't even look. I expected it to be one of the normal suspects, right? Like the ones that I'm used to. And I was just like, let me just pull up and see what it is and then we'll just do it. I can do it seamlessly. Not the case. It's the first time, I think. Well, not the first time. I had a live read at one point. I didn't read it. It was for Manscaped. And like, so I own a Manscaped, but I use it for my beard and everything rather than the other regions. So what the reason why I'm telling you this is because when I started to read it, I was like, yeah, Manscaped. Yeah. I use it all, you know, on my beard and everything. Like it's great. It's like great for micro trimming or whatever. And then like the next line, cause I didn't read ahead. It's like, it flat out said like, use it on your balls. That's what it's made for. And I was like, It was like, okay, cool. Actually, I don't even think it said like use it. It's like I'm reading and it's like I use it on, and it was like, okay, great. I just said I use it on my face, and now I just.
Well, the wheels are spinning. I mean, for all the people out there that want to call this the Butthole Podcast, I think the brand's perfectly aligned. So maybe if they want to sponsor it, and we can then make it the official Butthole Podcast sponsored by Manscaped and McDonald's.
See, but- I feel like you just paid off so many people who have been dreaming of this moment, calling it the Butthole Podcast.
Yeah.
For everyone who says it that thinks that they're the first one to say it, keeping in mind, I didn't know, I didn't bring it up to you before the show, like when we first proposed doing this. It certainly I told my mom, like, yeah, I'm doing this show with Jake Butt. And she's like, well, how are you going to get around the obvious name thing? I think when you have the last name's Butt and you have the last name Hole, chances are you're going to think of these things before the average populace. But we're paying it off. Ladies and gentlemen, the Butthole Podcast.
Anyway. The best way around something is through something. Yeah. I used to fight it all the time. I hated my last name. I wanted to change it. And then one day, like, the switch got flipped. I'm just going to own it. I'm going to own it. I'm going to have fun with it. So the best way around is actually through.
Right.
Words of wisdom for you guys out there.
I've enjoyed the fact that so many people are enjoying it. It's more of the person that like, wait, I just discovered this, you know, like I could, yeah. We can call it like, that's when I roll my eyes, when it's like, they think it's the most original thing. And it's like, look at the comments from literally the first episode forward. But for those who have constantly, and there have been few who've constantly been clamoring for that name, here it is. We're doing it. Officially, it happened organically, which is the best way for it to happen.
Only way.
Not because you guys pressured us. All right. So the next question that I had, getting back on topic, is how difficult is it when you are a player and you know you have that big game, that rivalry game the next week? And especially if you are playing, you know, a team that's maybe not so good. I know it's different, like 2015, you played at Penn State before going to Ohio State. And I know Penn State wasn't anything spectacular that year, but nonetheless, I mean, that's the type of one where it's like, oh, cool, we've got to get up for two games in a row now, right? Instead of it being that. But like when you're going up against a team that you know you should beat, and you got Michigan State next week, or, you know, or Ohio State the next week, or even Penn State, depending on how they are any, you know, any given year, how hard is it to keep that focus?
Yeah, well, I think it's a collective thing, because I think, can you do two things at once? Can you understand the big picture goals but have a small picture mindset? Like, okay, yeah, we want to win the Big Ten championship. We owe Michigan State one because of last year, because it's just, you always owe Michigan State one. We owe them one. But it's Northwestern this week. So you have these ultimate goals of Big Ten championship, which is really the ultimate goal, even more so than Michigan State and Ohio State is. But you understand, if you beat those teams, if you beat Northwestern, it has to start with what the challenge that lies directly ahead, then you win those. Now, I think as a player, you're going to go out there, you're not leaving anything in the tank ever. But I say collective, because sometimes as a coach, maybe you don't want to show too much on film. Maybe you think you can slide by a little bit, getting away with, you know, an easier vanilla game plan and save some of your bread and butter, your confidence plays for Michigan State. But I just don't see that. I don't see that at all from the staff. I don't see that from this team. And again, I speak on the leadership. These guys are locked in. That's what gives me the most confidence is they just love the process of getting better. So I think they're going to go out there and play their asses off once again and put out a good performance. And as they continue to do that each week, my confidence continues to grow.
Now, also with that in mind, it's like you said about the you know, maybe holding back some plays and everything. I kind of remember it kind of somewhat going the other way at times under Jim Harbaugh. Maybe we haven't seen that as much recently, but I don't remember who you guys played in 2015 before Michigan State, but I do remember like walking away from that game, and I didn't know much about scheme or X's and O's at that time, but I just remember talking to some of the people who did, and they were like, Michigan's really baiting Michigan State in what they're doing in this game. Mm-hmm. How much do you think that type of thing plays a part. Like when teams you've been a part of, either college, NFL, you know you're about to play your mm-hmm. rival, whoever that may be. How much does that week before maybe have a little bit of just sprinkling in some things to give the rival something to think about?
Well, it's not just the week before. It's really a collective thing. And what goes on practice is I see on the defensive side of the ball mainly, because the defensive is more reactive where the offense is a little bit proactive. So when you put in trick plays and you put them on tape, the defense has to prep that. That's you know, minutes of meeting time. That's minutes of practice time, which in college, it's even more condensed because the time limits. So that's time that you're spent practicing on a play that may or may not be ran in the game and not focus on the bread and butter of the offense. So there's a little bit of both, because I remember the 2015 game against Michigan State is we still had a lot of trick plays in. Of course, we had Jabril playing offense at that point. So we were getting really, really creative on offense. So it was a little bit of both as we put, I think we had the intent to deceive to myself against Rutgers. And I don't know if that was.
Yeah, it was against Rutgers. I was going to say it was against Rutgers. Yeah.
So I don't know if that was before. I can't remember which one came first, but you're doing a little bit of both. And I'll tell you one thing about Michigan State is they're doing the same thing. They always seem to have like a – it's always like a fake field goal or like a perfectly executed fake punt, or just things just happen to fall in place for these dudes. Fluke stuff that just bothers me, but it is what it is. So what we're doing, they're also doing, but none of it matters if we don't win this week. So I think that's ultimately what we need to be focusing on.
And yeah, it's, I think, a task easier said than done. And at least now we get some insight, because it's like the idea of, you know, looking ahead and things of that nature is there was some word on the street, for instance, that some people that were pretty reputable had told me before the 2018 Ohio State game, you know, Ohio State got into that overtime against Maryland. It looked like they were going to lose and it didn't go that way. Heard that they didn't really work on Maryland that week, you know, mm-hmm. that they were just like, well, we're going to focus on Michigan and whatever happens at Maryland, like we're Ohio State, we'll be able to do it. So I can't imagine, based off of everything Harbaugh and the coaches say, that that's anywhere what Michigan's going to be doing against Northwestern. They're not going to be saying, like, us, forget Northwestern. We're going to work on Michigan State. They're not doing that. So that's the good thing. All right. So I think that's really all we have before we get to the score predictions and kind of how we expect this game to go. So before
let's touch on the Michigan offense, could we touch on that real quick?
I totally forgot about it. Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about the offense. What are your thoughts?
It's going to be a quick thing. I mean, because I think ultimately what Michigan's really good at is dominating teams that they're better than. So, like, you know, you look at some of our earlier games where we were rushing the ball for 300 yards and just really imposing our will. That's kind of what I expect to see again this week is a heavy, heavy run game. You know, speed up the clock, keep guys healthy and just continue to build confidence. But I'd like to see – you know, I do want to see a dominant run game. I do want to continue to see that. I think that's who we are, and you have to work your identity. But I continue to want to see creative pass plays, creative schemes that are going to find that are going to scheme our offensive weapons open, not just say, hey, like, you're going to be better than the guy across from you. Scheme does matter. So I want to see a little bit of a balanced run game, but ultimately I think it's – or a balanced offensive attack, but I think ultimately it's going to come down to the run game. And you're going to see some longer, you know, 6, 8, 10 play, you know, 7 minute drives that just take the air out of it. And I think that's what we're going to see this week.
I mean, given that Northwestern is, I can't remember the number, is like 118th in the country in rushing yards allowed per game. I mean, they're allowing 200 plus yards per game. I mean, it plays right into Michigan's hands. Essentially, like, they're allowing 190 yards passing and 206 yards rushing. It's like, well, okay, well, that's what Michigan wants to do anyway. Yeah. So it's really just, I mean, that's essentially the stat line. I said at 100 for the first three games of the season, and you go to Nebraska, it's pretty much the same, except for 250 yards passing, 200 something yards rushing. Yeah. So it's exactly what Michigan wants to do. So essentially what Northwestern's inviting the Wolverines to do is just, hey, play exactly how you play every week, and we're not going to stop it. So that creates an issue. I think the bigger concern for me is if Helinski starts throwing the ball, what are we going to see from, like, because we haven't seen much of it, teams that have an aerial attack per se. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I will kind of want to see them do it, right? Like, I want to see them try to throw 35, 40 times in this game. Certainly they're going to try to be relying on Evan Hull to run the ball. I want to, but that's what I want to see. I want to see them try to, Northwestern that is, throw all over to try to put the Michigan defense in conflict to see how Michigan's defense handles it. Because I am convinced that the offense is going to be able to do everything it's done to this point. Yeah. And it's done it against better defenses than Northwestern, certainly. Yeah. So, all right. With that in mind, we are going to move on. We are going to get to our final predictions here momentarily. But before we do, listen, folks, we've talked a lot about how football's back. All eyes are back on the gridiron. It's another football season well underway, halfway through. Anyway, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive said bonus from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Also, I have to tell you about Built Bar, Jake. I've told you about Built Bar. Dude, why have I not gotten you any Built Bar? I mean, I promise you I'm going to get you a box of Built Bar before the season is done, because it is one of my favorite things. It tastes like a candy bar, but it's a protein bar. It's high protein, low calorie, low carb. It's everything that you are looking for. Because I'm a glutton, I have two at a time most of the time, at least when I have a flavor that I adore, like peanut butter brownie or almond toffee or toffee coconut. No, almond coconut, which is like an almond joy, essentially. I'm telling you, these are the most delicious things ever. And I can have two at a time and it's fine. It's different. Like, I used to go get those Metrics Big 100 bars, and those were higher calorie and less protein than having two Built Bars. So anyway, I put my money where my mouth is so many times. I recommend all of you out there, give it a try. You can go to built.com, put in promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off of your next order. That's built.com, LOCKED15, to enjoy Built Bar just like I do. All right, I swear, I don't know who's over at my townhouse, but I swear they're having a stampede upstairs. I don't know if you can hear any of that through the mic.
Nope.
I'm glad you
keep doing the same thing. So looks like we might have good mics.
Good. Cause yeah, if you see me distracted, it's just, I swear they're stomping around doing all kinds of things anyway. Yeah. All right, Jake. So I think we'll do things a little bit differently than what we did. I'm going to have you give the three things that you, and you can mix it up, three things you think you'll see. Whether it's you think you'll see, it's things you want to see, however you want to split it up, just give me three things when it comes to this game of what you're kind of hoping and or expecting.
Okay, so let's start with this. Is I want to see a dominant defensive performance. I want to see a complete game. Now, coming off the Nebraska game, there was a little bit of holes. There was a couple things that happened that you're like, man, you got to clean those up if you're going to beat some of the better teams. Now, Northwestern isn't going to be the best team that we face, but it is another challenge, and we better do it against them if we're going to do it against the Michigan States, the Penn States, the Ohio State. So I want to see a dominant game. I'd like to see if we can get a shutout. That'd be awesome. That would really give me a lot of confidence. So that's number one. Number two is what I'm really looking to see is one guy is if our offense can get out to a good lead, if our offense can take a commanding, position in this game. Do we see J.J. McCarthy come in and get significant playing time in the third quarter? I think to continue to have options at quarterback and have strides, he's been built into the game plan a little bit, and Cade's doing a great job, but you just never know when the next man's going to be called upon. Are we going to see J.J. come in and continue to get comfortable with the offense and control the game? And I'd love to see if you can put together, the last one would be 300 yards rushing. That's a benchmark. If you can run the ball for 300 yards on the team, you're dominating them. You're dominating typically in the yards per play, which is critical. You're dominating them in time of possession, and you're keeping their offense off the field. And it just kind of takes their will. So if we can just go out there and put out a strong rushing attack, get out of the game healthy, 300 yards rushing. I think if those three things happen, then Michigan will absolutely dominate this game.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that for sure. I definitely want to see, I'd love to see the three. I'd love to see 300 yards rushing and over 200 yards passing. I feel like that, you know, it's, I'm sure we saw that in, I don't remember the stats for week three, but I feel like week three was the only time that that's kind of happened. At week one, maybe it happened between the two quarterbacks, but I think it was more like 191. I want to see like what you expect from like Ohio State, right? Because every week you expect Ohio State to have 300 yards passing, 200 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. I want to see the inverse of that. I mean, I doubt you're going to see 300. That's not going to happen. But I want to see 500 yards of total offense, no matter how Michigan gets there. Could be 250, 250. I'd be fine with that. I just want to see it be around there, because Northwestern's defense has not shown that it can stop some of the better teams. I'm with you with the shutout. I think the only thing with that is it's hard to shut teams out nowadays. And your team, and back in 2015, spoiled Michigan fans. So like anytime that I still feel it when I'm in the big house, it could be, you know, 56-0 and 6 minutes left to go. A team scores a field goal. Like there's this collective groan that happens. And it's like, you know, people like yelling, "What are you doing?" And it's like, there's 6 minutes left. And the game is over and they're going up against the fourth string defense. It's okay. They can get their 3 points.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was spoiled from that three game, which came against Northwestern in 2015. Yeah.
But I don't want to sound like that annoying alumni, like, "Oh, back in my day, you know," but we were just talking about it there. You know, we were talking about, you know, that there was that graphic that got put out of what would this year's offense do against our 2016 defense. And we didn't get into it, you know, who's going to win, but we just talked about the 2016 defense. We still have a bunch of us group chat. We're like, man, in those first six games we played, we knocked out seven quarterbacks. So we knocked out every single quarterback we played and a backup. Like, teams were legitimately like limping off the field against us. When we played Rutgers, we beat them 78-0. They didn't get a first down till 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. We had like first year offensive linemen that we were just shuffling in on defense. Mm-hmm. Like that defense was really, really, really dominant. And we had 12 guys get Big Ten honors. So all 11 starters and some of our two deep. So nasty, nasty dudes. But I think this defense has a lot of talent too. And they do have that ability to go out and pitch a shutout. Like you said, though, the modern day offense is a little bit harder to do, but if you can do it this week, you feel really good about it.
Yeah. I'm just really hoping, like I said in the last segment, I'm really hoping that the corners get tested. I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive, but I don't want them to feel like they're getting, considering that I haven't watched a lot of Northwestern. I've watched a little bit. My kind of impression is that it is going to be at least a similar look to what Michigan State's going to present, and more of a pro style attack, right? Like they're going to try to run the ball, you know, and essentially between the tackles, they've got big receivers that they're going to target. It's not like what Michigan's kind of doing. I mean, it's closer to what Michigan's doing than what like Ohio State or some others are doing necessarily, but I want to see how they perform in that type of thing. I'm expecting to see them try to attack Michigan kind of in a similar vein, right? So if we'll know exactly how Michigan's defense will hold up against Jaden Reed and Jalen Naylor based off of what they're able to do against the trio whose names all escape me every single time. I remember one of them's name is Bryce. That's so anyway, well, I'll obviously know their names tomorrow. But
there's a nationwide stigma towards the Big Ten. Like, it's like the mid-level SEC teams are like, well, these guys can win national championships, you know? Yeah. But the Big Ten is just as talented. So you got a 3-3 Northwestern team that's going to get no respect from anybody. And if Michigan goes out there and dominates, they get no respect. If we win, if it's a close game, then that looks bad on us. Don't get it twisted. Like, especially with Pat Fitzgerald being the head coach, like, this is a team that should be respected. And in the Big Ten's a conference that really should be respected as well. We have talent too. So like you said, man, this is going to be a good test, another measuring stick for us to take a step forward.
All right. Last thing, final score prediction. What do you think?
I love a shutout, but I think we put up around 38 points. You know, a lot of that's going to be through the run game. And I think I'll give Northwestern 10 points. So I'm looking for a 38-10 victory by Michigan.
We both have Michigan with the same amount of points, 38. It seems like most every team Michigan faces gets 14 points, right? Like exactly 14 points. Actually, their scoring defense, I think, is only like 12 or something, because of the 63-3 So I'm just going to give Northwestern 14 points. I'll give them two touchdowns. One of them, if I was to predict, I'd say one of them is on the first drive, one of them is the last, because we've seen that happen, right? That's how that tends to go. So 38-14 from me, 38-10 from Jake Butt. Either way, if you're betting the 23.5, we're both taking Michigan. So anyway, that's going to do it. Next, you'll see us back with X's and O's. Hopefully, if you're with that, is since that's strictly visual, hopefully we'll have it back to where we're not just sitting here side by side the entire time like you're seeing now. But it's the necessity of the day, technical difficulties. But nonetheless, thank you for watching and or listening. We will be back next week.